Michael Quess Moore, or A Scribe Called Quess, describes himself as a poet, an educator, an actor, and an activist. When we met him before his performance at the Dogfish Reading Series, he transitioned seamlessly between these roles. Here, Quess tells us about what it's like to address the awkwardness in the room and the possibility for dialogue in poetic spaces.
We need to have a conversation about race. We need to have a conversation about race. Turns page.
My name is Michael Quess Moore, aka Scribe Called Quess.
Short story long.
I've seen this conversation go horribly wrong when it didn't happen, right? When we just let the elephant sit in the room. What happens is those things sit there and fester to the point where the inequity just fortifies itself. It builds, right? And we don't talk about the thing that, okay, this is a human situation we're in. It's funky, it's messy, it's nasty, right? If we don't deal with the funk and the mess and the nastiness of it, it really just gets messier and nastier. So an artist is always charged to come into the room and say or do those things that the rest of the human, you know, village or community is not saying or doing. We're always the crazy one on the outskirts of the village. We got to come back to the center of the village with this thing we found in the outskirts and be brave enough to say, hey, winter's coming. How we doing tonight?
All right.
All right. I'm not good at censoring myself, but I'm also born of the tradition of slam poetry, was said. So if you're feeling something, I feed off of your energy, all right? Very personal and real life stories, right? So everywhere that the social constructs that we come up against every day, particularly through my lens as a cisgendered African-American male. Arisen sleepers, imprisoned keepers of long-quelled flames, rekindled in kind, and kinsmen through time. And this is our season to unearth truth like treason from each root to each region of a family tree ablaze. I always think about the nature of my piece and what I have to say, you know, and who I'm about to say it in front of, and how it's going to be received, and where I need to put myself mentally to say it, you know what I'm saying, or emotionally to say it. And how much I'm gonna give to it. I always want to give as much as I am available for, but at the same time, I like to think about the nature of the crowd or the size of the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going in front of a much smaller crowd, then sometimes that gives me a lot more room to be more intimate, vulnerable, drop something, you know, fumble and have fun with it. You know what I mean? Whereas I go in front of, you know, hundreds, then it's polished, it's clean. That's where the slam stuff comes in. You know what, I'm gonna do this one. And they kept asking why all our poems sounded the same. Why all our words wrapped themselves around race and gender, oppression and revolution, like there was nothing else.
Being part of the poetry community is vital. I'll say it's a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns with that. You know what I mean? You will get to know people a lot quicker than you do a lot others sometimes, because of the nature of, you know, what we're putting out. So you just kind of open yourself up. Imagine what you see on a page, what you see on a stage sometime, in terms of that psh, you know, that spill, that, you know, kind of bloodletting that we voluntarily do. We know the stories behind each other's story, and then the story behind that story half the time, depending on, you know, how close you might end up getting to that poet. And you find that without that kind of communication, communion, then a lot of times those poems wouldn't happen in the first place, right? First of all, the relationship that builds towards you finding the courage to tell that story, and then the relationship that further fortifies your ability to get up and say it in front of people, right? So I've seen poets like go from like, yeah, this thing happened today, melting down in the car, you know, reading a poem to me, right? And then turn around tomorrow and it's like a viral thing, you know what I mean? 100,000 people know about it.
All right, y'all, y'all ready for a little opera sauce? It's been way too comfortable here. I just want to get everybody like out of here. And some of his fame final words, infamous economist Milton Friedman went on record as saying that Katrina was a tragedy.
but at the same time, an opportunity. It has to radically reform the New Orleans public school system. That's bullshit. All white man elitist ease for white clean the slate of New Orleans public schools and replace them with independent charters. Want to know who the charters answer to? Just follow the money. Probably the same old high-end, usually right-wing think tanks that design a test to leap over our kids' heads while they steadily claiming they won't leave them behind. Same good old boys and money banks that kept your great-great-great-grandmothers in chains. So what's to be made of all this good-hearted altruism, huh?
We have to sit in the same place and have a conversation with each other enough so that we can work past the awkward sauce, right? And work towards the reality that this thing is toxic because, all right? A lot of the stuff we were talking about beforehand. We have a long history and trajectory of all of these problematic ways of being on the planet, of not knowing how to be a human being to one another. Because we see what happens when the things build up. It turns into more than toxicity. People's lives get lost. And that has been a catalyst for all of us to start showing up in the ways that we do, on all the different levels that we do. But the point is, if we want to avert that, you know, cataclysm again, talk.
All right, just a little pinch more of awkward sauce. What dark phantoms creep in the underbelly of your dream, huh? What ocean of skeletons tap dance across your bed at night? What terror do you dress black bodies in that we all turn to bullseyes under your scope? How rigid must be my walk? How docile the smile and tender the eyes to not bore your bloodthirst and jostle your murderous knee jerk? How articulate must be my speech to match the diction of a genocidal derelict? What you gonna teach my kids, America? You are a continent of cacophonous consonants that will collapse in my absence. Once you vanquish the vowels, we will howl in the wind, reform ourselves nebulous, rain ourselves anew to fertilize the tomorrows that our earth incubates for us. Wade in the waters of her womb to be reborn in the wake of your absence. But we will no longer try to fit ourselves inside of you, America. You can spell out your death sentence alone.
That was poet, educator, and activist Michael Moore, a.k.a. A Scribe Called Quest. Learn more about him at ascribecalledquest.tumblr.com.